And so, Hebrews 2, 4. But I said we'll zero in. Of course, our kata, of blessed memory, being blessed memory, was able to classify the gifts of the Spirit. Of course, 9 gifts of the Spirit. And he said, we look at that.
There are gifts that say something. Trans gifts, right? Which will be tongues,
interpretation of
gifts that reveal something they see.
Which will be a word of wisdom, word of knowledge, and the discerning of spirit. And they are gifts that what they do is they do. They don't see, they don't say, they do. They don't have time for seeing and saying. They do. And those are the power gifts, which will include what? Healing, working of miracles, and the gift of faith.
And when you see that, the gift of faith is not so much explained in the charismatic ministry.
I don't know why. Probably because it's too silent, and it's not really an independent gift per se. You understand that it works with either miracles or works with healing, right? So maybe that's why the focus is on that, but we will zero in on the gift of faith, right? But today we'll look a bit into healing.
Because of course,
as we're learning, the gift of faith is to an end, which is actually healing, right?
Healing the physical. So Hebrews 2:4. God also bearing them witnesses, both in signs and wonders, and diverse miracles, and the gift of the Holy Ghost, according to his own will. We said the word sign is the word semion. Same thing Jesus said in Mark 16:17, these signs shall follow those that believe. In my name, they will cast out devils, they will heal the sick, they will learn, then they will cast out devils, they will speak with new tongues. We have been able to see that semion, when he says sign, then it means an indication, right? Right? An indication. And then it cannot stand on its own. It has to be an indication of something.
That is, that's the point of something. You can't just say, it's a sign. It has to be a sign of something. And we saw the last week what Jesus was saying in Mark 16 was a sign of what? Resurrection. Now, this is a sign that Jesus is alive. He will cast out devils. Because when he was on the earth, he cast out devils, right? So the sign that he is alive, that you too will do the same. So Christianity preaches God is alive. And when I say God is alive, we don't mean God is alive somewhere, maybe Kaduna. What we're saying is that he's here, right now. Where I am, he's where he is. I am the manifest presence of God, of the God kind.
So, this, Hebrews 2:4 again. God also bearing them witness with both signs and wonders. So we said signs, Simeon. Wonders, we watch the rest, right?
What causes you to marvel? Something that brings amazement. It creates amazement. And we said, when a wonder happens, it will take only someone that wants to doubt, not to believe. It's a wonder. You will naturally be amazed. It's a wonder. You will naturally be amazed.
Is that what they're asked? Then the gift of the Holy Ghost. Say God bearing them with the signs and wonders and the gift of the Holy Ghost.
The word gift of the Holy Ghost is the word gift there, not charisma. Unlike the usage that we always see, charisma. That's the word merismos.
M-E-R-I-S-M-O-S. Merismos. So, it says God bearing them both the signs and wonders and the merismos of the Holy Ghost. When merismos is used,
unlike charisma, like I said, charisma will talk about the capacity of the believer. That is, this is what the believer has. The gift, the charisma of the Spirit. But when merismos is used in Hebrews 2:4, it says God bearing them both the signs and wonders and the merismos of the Holy Ghost. That will not talk about the capacity of the believer, but what the audience will see. Okay? So it doesn't talk about the capacity of the believer, what the audience will see, what will be seen by others.
It is the diversity, the gifts of the Holy Ghost. So it says, God bearing them witness. God also bearing witness, both with signs and wonders, with diverse miracles and the gifts of the Holy Ghost according to his own will. So it calls it a witness.
A witness that will be what? Material, right? But it's not against the message. Right? So, it says God bear witness. And of course, we said signs and wonders. Again, in Hebrews 2:4, the signs, indication, will be an indication of what? Verse 3. So, he talked about so great salvation. And I said, this is so great salvation, God bearing also witness with signs and wonders, the gift of the Holy Ghost. So, we will know the sign, we will know that the sign is of God when it bears witness to the gospel. Come on, do you understand that? The way we will know that this sign and wonder is of God is that it will bear witness with so great salvation.
I come again. The way the Simeon and the Teras. And this is the sign and the wonder. It's of God. It's that it will bear witness with what Christ has done. It's going to bear witness with what Christ has done. So, if there is salvation in the message, the sign and the wonder and the miracle must witness that there is salvation. Are you getting me? Sickness. The miracle will not be sickness. Because the message is salvation. That's why this will break against the fall down and die. How can someone falling down and die be bearing witness, be a sign and wonder to so great salvation? Because even God said, I don't have the pleasure in the death of a sinner, but I should come into repentance. Right? Then I say, come, let's reason together. Even though your sin might be as red as Christian, I will give them as white as I want it. So, the wonder and the merismos of the Holy Ghost must bear witness with the message. So, if it's the gospel, and the gospel is life, right? You just said, I'm come to give life and give more abundance, John 10:10. He said, the thief cometh not but to steal, to kill, and to destroy. He said, I've come to give life and give life to many. So, the gospel is life. Hallelujah. So, the gospel is life. The signs and wonders of the gospel must point to that same reality. You can't make someone sick and call that a sign and wonder. That is witchcraft at its best. Someone got sick because he prayed. Come on. Congratulations. You are now the devil's PA. Someone getting sick because you pray should not be a sign of wonder. That's not even close to a sign. That's a demonic wonder. Hallelujah. Praise God. So, the signs and wonders must bear witness with the message. In Mark 16, let's see where Jesus put it. Mark 16. In verse 17, it says, this sign shall follow they that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. Kainos tongues, right? They shall take out serpents, and they shall drink any deadly thing, and shall not by any means hold them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So after the Lord has spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven, and sat at the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord walking with them, and confirming the word with signs following. Do you see that? The Lord walking with them, and confirming the word, the message, with signs following. So, if I'm going to confirm the message that he who believes is saved, come on, look at verse 20 again. Then the Lord was confirming the word preached. What was the message he preached? The resurrection of Jesus, which is the remission of sin. Eh? So, if I'm going to confirm that message, my sign and wonder must not contradict it. My sign and my wonder, everything I will do must show the goodness of God. Because the goodness of God is what we see in the gospel. The gospel is on the good side of God. The gospel is the totality of God. God is life. All John 1:5. In him there is no darkness at all. Full life. So, the sign I want must also show the goodness of God. I can't confirm salvation by making someone sick. Rather, my sign and wonder must point attention further to the message and life that is in the gospel. The sign and wonder must point attention further to the message that is in the gospel. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Alright, so what will be done must bear witness to the message. Because only the gospel of God. What must be done must bear witness to the message. Alright. So that's how you see in the ministry of Jesus, healing was major. How many of you noticed that? How many of you noticed that in the ministry of Jesus, major? If he did, okay, in the ministry of Jesus, which one was more? Revelation gift or utterance? Which was more? In the ministry of Jesus. Power, right? Of the power gift, which was more? Healing, miracle, or gift of faith? Healing, miracles, or the gift of faith? That's to be healing. It's healing. Even if it's the gift of faith, it will lead to healing. So that's you have just made this mark. And does not all healing are by the gift of faith. Hallelujah. Alright, so, in the ministry of Jesus, healing was major. Let me just say this. Close to bearing witness with salvation than healing. Let's say it again. I mean healing in the natural. Nothing bears witness so much with salvation than healing. In the Old Testament, that's why healing was so used to explain salvation in the Old Testament. Like, for example, in Isaiah 53, verse 5, it says, by stripes we are healed. By stripes we are healed is not talking about this guy. I don't know if you know that by now. It's not really talking about salvation. By stripes we are healed from sin. Healing is not always for the body. So, you can contextual reading will save you a lot in that. From verse 1, look at what he has been talking about.
our sins are forgiven. That's it, by stripes we are healed. And that's the same thing in 1 Peter 2:24. By whose stripes ye were healed. By whose stripes you are healed. So that wasn't talking about physical healing for salvation. But they have to use healing because that's the closest thing in the natural, in the sense realm, that depicts the power of God. See? So what I just said, you understand? Let me see your hands.
Alright.
Let me see your hands, you understand? You don't understand. Come again. Alright. Nothing explains salvation and what happens to our spirit
in
our spirit. What explains it in the physical than healing? Healing bears witness solely with salvation. And I said that's why in the Old Testament scriptures, like Isaiah 53:5, salvation was used as healing. By stripes you are healed. And that was what Peter quoted in 1 Peter 2:24. So, healing by the power of God is the closest sign and wonder to explain the salvation of God. Healing by the power of God is the closest sign and wonder to explain the salvation of God. Look at the ministry of Jesus. The act of was to heal the sick. Look at the ministry of Jesus. 8 out of 10 was to heal the sick. When we refer to the mighty works of God in the gospel, you know we can refer to healing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When we say the mighty works of God, healing will refer. That's why often preaching the gospel readily identifies with healing. We see that quite soon. Preaching of the gospel readily identifies with the healing ministry. Acts 4:29. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants with all boldness that they might speak your word. Grant unto thy servants that with all boldness, now keep your eyes on the ball, that with all boldness that they might speak your word. The word boldness is the word paresia. The same word as confidence. Paresia. P-A-R-R-E-S-I-A. P-A-R-R-E-S-I-A. Now, it has a unique feature. Let me just say this. In Bible interpretation, sometimes you look at the usages to be able to explain the word. Grant the servant with all boldness. We look at the usages, then we can be able to explain. If you look at the synonym of the word, you can explain the word itself. Is that clear? Alright. So let's look at how it was used. Mark chapter 8. Now pay close attention to wherever you read it. To come in handy. Mark chapter 8. Look at the word paresia, boldness. Mark chapter 8, verse 32. And he spake that saying openly. The word openly is the word paresia. Openly. And Peter took him and began to rebuke him. Openly. John 7, verse 4. Paresia. John 7, verse 4. For there is no man that has doeth anything in secret, and he himself seeks to be known openly. The same thing, openly. He seems to have boldness. Paresia. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, without checking the Greek now, you know, might not have known that openly in John 7, 4, is the same thing in Acts, and the same thing as in John 5, 14, 1 John 5, 14. This is the confidence that we have. You know, it's kind of what Greek words do. So, I wonder some people say, why are you always using Greek? If you are a very good Bible student, you will know that it helps. It is not a message, but it's not against it. Hallelujah. Alright, John 7:13. Howbeit, no man speaks openly of him for the fear of the Jews. Again, openly. John 7:26. But lo, he speaketh boldly, paresia, boldly, and they say nothing to him, though the rulers knowing this, that this is the very Christ. John 10, verse 24. So we have seen two usages, boldly and openly, right? John 10:24. Then came the Jews round about him and said unto him, how long did thou make us to doubt? If thou be Christ, tell us paresia. Tell us plainly. That's paresia. John 11:14. Then Jesus said unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead. He had been trying to talk to them in faith. He said, our friend is asleep. He said, good. If he's sleeping, let him wake up now. The disciples are so funny people. He's asleep. Hey, why are we not going there? If he's sleeping, he wake up. Jesus would have said, my gosh. You don't get this? And he spoke to them paresia. Plainly, that is openly. He removed everything. He just spoke to them openly. That's all he said. Someone would say, ah, I he know that was what you are saying?
Alright, plainly or openly, right? John 11:54. Jesus therefore walked no more openly among the Jews. John 16:25.
John 16:25,
right? Is that where I am? These things have I spoken to you in Proverbs. But the time comes when you shall no more speak in Proverbs, but I shall show you plainly of the Father. Again, plainly. John 16:29. His disciples said unto him, Lo, now speakest thou plainly, and speakest no Proverbs. After Jesus has explained to them in 3 chapters what it means that he's going to the Father and he's coming back to them. And he explains the comfort. And I say, now you are speaking openly. And he's speaking no Proverbs. Hallelujah. John 18:20. Are you still with me? Jesus answered him, I speak openly to the world. That's the word parousia. I spoke openly to the world. I ever taught in the synagogue and in the temple, without the Jews always resort, and the secrets I have nothing. Open. So, what is consistent with the word openly? If you have been seeing it. Speak it, thank you. So, we can call parousia public. It's not a speaking. We can call it public. It's not a speaking you do in the private. We can call it public speaking. Let's look at the book of Acts. The way it was, we just checked the focus. Let's look at the book of Acts. Acts 2, speaking, very consistent. Acts 2:29. Men and brethren, let me freely speak to you of the patriarch David. He goes down there and brethren, he said, Jesus is there. Freely speak. Acts 4:13. Very important. Acts 4:13. Very important. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled. And they took knowledge of them, that they had been with Jesus. So, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, these are the just in boldness. How did they see boldness? They spoke. That's why they said they perceived that they had been with Jesus. So, boldness is not, it's not Danshiki. I see that guy, he has boldness. Parousia has to do with speaking. Boldness has to do with speaking. You know what I'm bold, but I cannot talk. See me, you are the most timid of all men. Hallelujah. Acts 4:29. And lo now, okay, that's where we are coming from. And now, Lord, behold thy treasure and grant unto the servant that with all boldness you may speak the word. And as the boldness goes with speaking. Acts 4:31 now. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken and they were filled with the Holy Ghost. And they what? They speak the word of God with boldness. Parousia. Public speaking. Plainly. Public speaking openly, plainly. That's Acts 4:31. Acts 28:31. Preaching the kingdom of God and teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence. That's parousia. All confidence. So far, we have said that it has to do with speaking. Public speaking at that. That's to do with speaking and public speaking. Let's look at the epistles a bit. 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians 7. Verse 4. Great is my boldness of speech towards you. Can you see that? My parousia. That's to do with speaking. Great is my greatness of speech towards you. Ephesians 6. Verse 19. And for me, because it's a prayer, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of Christ. The mystery of the gospel, rather. Sorry. So, can you see that to do with speaking? Whenever boldness, whenever parousia openly is used, that's to do with speaking. Philippians 1:20. According to my inner expectation and hope that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but with all boldness as always, so now Christ may magnify, whether in my death or my life. So it's a public display of the knowledge of Christ. The public display of the knowledge of Christ. Parousia. So back to Acts 4. Again, we are zeroing on the gifts of faith, of course, to an end, the gift of healing. And now, Lord, behold your trustness, and grant your servant that with all boldness, can we say with all speaking openly? Grant to your servant that with all speaking openly, all boldness, all speaking openly, they might speak thy word. So, it's an unrestrained voice. It is for everyone to hear. It's an unrestrained voice. It is something I'm saying for everyone to hear. A public display of what I know. Hallelujah. So when parousia is used, the public display. It's not something that
Be healed. Be healed. Be healed. No. It will be loud. Everyone will hear. Every utterance of Jesus to a sick man was loud. Everybody heard. He said,
rise up, pick up your bed and walk.
I can't hear you. Pardon?
Pick up your bed.
Hello?
Take up your bed.
No, just say, take up your bed and walk. Hallelujah. God's power is love. God's power is nothing.
Pick up your bed and walk.
So, let's see together. Notice where the prayer really is. They said, behold, they are threatening. And God's servant, with boldness in my city, I walk. Verse 39, how they will do it? By stretching forth thy hand to heal. And the signs and wonders, Simeon and Terah, may be done by the name of thy only child Jesus. By stretching forth thy hand, speaking publicly as a result of a prayer will be the miraculous. Shall I come again? My speaking publicly is to an end. As a result of a prayer I prayed in verse 29, will be by the miraculous. So, it is in the open. Everyone has to hear you. The background of this story is that a miracle was just wrought at the beautiful gate, right? Abina. And then, open the way. So, you now said, God, after the message, they now arrested him. See, God, behold thy threat, but grant unto us boldness to speak thy word. Is that clear? So, that would be to open miracles. So, the guy that was healed at the beautiful gate was saved. And he was not, but that was 120, that was speaking to him. No? So, never get carried away by the miracles, such that you forget that you forget to preach the gospel. Never get carried away with the miraculous that you forget to preach the gospel. The miracle is for the message. It is not the message. The miracle is for the message. The miracle in itself is not the message. So we said earlier that healing is major. So the primary, what would be the primary sign and wonder? What would be the primary sign and wonder? If you are saying a default sign and wonder, what would it be? Healing. That's what he's doing. The primary sign I want to be what? Healing is the fault. Is the closest that bears message, that gives a witness with the message of salvation. A minister once said, you know, I'll drop Sean back, I'm not so sure. He said, healing is the jingle bell of the gospel. I think I love that. Said, when you heal, people hear, bagang, 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 bagang. Stop the bell of the street. I hear this. Bang, 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 bang. Give your life to Jesus. Instead of drying that, why not just get on that sick in the vessel? Someone that entered like this and bring you an idea. Nobody will listen to you. Till you get where you're going. Even the driver can park. Hallelujah. I don't know if you know that. You know, can you not see how the miraculous can pave way for the message? Secondly, can pave way for the message. And that's the essence. That's actually the essence. So, healing confirms God's ability to save. The healing ministry is vital to the preaching of the gospel. It's vital to the preaching of the gospel. Let's see healing again. Acts chapter 6, verse 8. And Stephen, full of power, full of faith and power, and did great wonders and miracles among the people. Full of faith and power. Acts 8, verse 5. And then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached the gospel and preached Christ unto them. And the people with one accord gave ear to those things which spirits were hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits crying out with loud voice came out of many possessed and many taken with palsies and that were lame were healed. And there was great joy in the city. So the emphasis was on what? People's body. When you talk about miracle, talk more about people's body. What happens to the natural body, not money? Eh? You rarely see anywhere in the epistle about a miracle. Let me tell you, in the book of Acts, none. Let me say this again. Why are we using the book of Acts? To explain the gift of faith. Because there's a shift in emphasis in the epistles. Right? Might not be able to ask. The epistle is for the church. The epistle is the meal of the church. And in the church, what is primary? Utterance. Not power. Because power gift, we said that already, is for men to what? Believe. It's not for those who have believed. Like just said, this time shall follow those who have believed in my name, they will do this. And when people now see this, it's going to confirm the message. Is that clear? Signs, wonders, miracles are not for those who have believed. They are for people to believe. And that's why it's not primary in the epistles. Hence, that would lead us to the book of Acts. The book of Acts will now be the primary place where we can actually see this thing. Because that's the early church. Is that clear?
Alright. So, utterance takes preeminence to the church. That means the unseen. We have the reverse. Power is take preeminence.
So, now, noting that there was no miracle, sign or wonder, or sign and wonder, in the book of Acts, that has to do with material prosperity. There's none. Jesus himself had three. Just three. Out of all the miracles. He had three that has to do with material prosperity. The way in Cana, where he had Cana of Galilee. Then Peter's experience. Cast your net to the right side. And of course, the bread and fish. I don't know if you, the art of the fish is the bread and fish. Really, they can give you after this. Say, I am wrong. Well, this bread and fish is from something. Yeah, how can I just do?
Hallelujah.
So Jesus himself had three. And none of these were repeated. I mean, that. That just, you not healed, and then healed again, and healed again. But the issue of the boat with Peter did not happen again. The Cana of Galilee happened once. The bread and fish happened once. Hallelujah. I get what I'm saying. There was no repetition. If there were, we were not told. If there were repetition of material prosperity, we were not told. Your attention where your attention should be. The book of Acts had none of material prosperity. Praise God. Hallelujah. Alright. Rather, the book of Acts was strong on healing. It was strong on healing. The first miracle in the book of Acts was healing, and the last was healing. The first one was healing, the last was healing. Acts 9, verse 32. And it came to pass, as Peter passed throughout the quarters, he came down also to the same that dwelt at Lydia, and there he found a certain man, Aeneas. Acts 9, verse 33. And there he found a certain man, named Aeneas, which had been kept his bed 8 years, and was sick of the palsy. I think this palsy will be stroke. Just wait. Was sick of the palsy. And Peter said unto him, Aeneas, Jesus Christ makes you whole. Arise, and make your bed. And he arose immediately. Hallelujah! How easy can power? See the way two of us pray the gift of power. How many of us are like, they pray so simple? Arise, make your bed. And he arose immediately. Praise God. Hallelujah. Acts 9:40. But Peter put them all forth and knew them and prayed, turning him to the body, said, Tabitha, arise. And she opened her heart. And when she saw Peter, she sat up. And he gave her his hand and lifted her up. And when he was called to serve in the widows, presented her alive. So Peter raised the dead in Acts 9:40-41. Tabitha, which means Dorcas. Alright. Hallelujah. That's all it takes to raise the dead. Come on. Hello. Can you hear me? And you hear the dead say, yes. That's all the miracle. That's the gift of faith. That's an instruction. Like I said last week, that Jesus said, Lazarus, come forth. That if Jesus had not put the name, every dead person in that place will come out. I said, that's beautiful. When I heard that, I was jumping in my room. Yes, you don't have to be specific. Else, death hears his voice and trembles. Hallelujah. And same with you. You are the fullness of him that fell on enough. So don't be shy. Don't pull back. No, no, you are here. Let's say some of you. I just preach and say, let me get you free. Let me get you free. And you need your power. And you're just getting people free. Eh? You are pulling back. It's called paresia. Speak it openly first. The reason why many don't work in the supernatural, especially in the gifts of power, is because they cannot speak openly. So, in Acts 9:40-41, can we see the gift of faith? Eh? What Peter did? Eh? Tabitha, arise! So there was an instruction, and people heard. It wasn't silent faith, though. My heart. Ah! Don't let your baby in your heart. Hallelujah. People heard him. In Acts 14, verse 7. And there they preached the gospel. And there stand a certain man at Lystra, impotent in his feet, being a cripple from his mother's womb, who never had walked. The same heard Paul speak, who steadfastly beholding him, and perceiving that he had faith to be healed, said with a loud voice. Did you observe that? Paul said with a loud voice, stand up upright. Stand upright on your feet. And he lifted and walked. Lift up faith. Right? You see how he gave up faith? He didn't lay hands. He said unto him, stand upright and walk. So sometimes, tell someone with you, follow me. That's the gift of faith. If he's in tune with what you're doing too, and he wants to be you, he will stand up. And that's it. Say, follow me. I'll show you something. Hallelujah. You give a deaf person a phone. You call the phone and say, pick it. The moment they say, I cannot hear. He cannot hear. You shall have whatever you. But if he can take yourself and say, hello? That's the end. It's a gift of faith.
Praise God.
He said with a loud voice, stand up right. Then he said, get out. Get out. Hey, it's not loud. It must be loud. If it's not loud, it's not faith. So the gift of faith is in a loud voice. And you will hear a clear instruction. The gift of faith is in a loud voice. You hear a clear instruction. So, what if after I have now given clear cut instruction, the person still did not talk? The power of God was available, was not received. Exactly. That should answer your question. The power of God was made available, but it was not received. Okay. So, you will hear stuff like, go and do checkup. Go and do checkup. Go and do checkup. Often times than not, if the person does not do the checkup, the sickness passes. Hallelujah. It's the gift of faith. Upon the instructions, is the healing. The person now say, alright. You know, I'm still feeling it. Now. I'm still feeling it. Thank God I never even wish I went to the hospital. Oh, you are getting it wrong. It's actually upon acting on the instruction that you receive. Actually upon acting on the instruction that you receive. You do what you could not do. And then the person sits down there. You cannot receive. But it's done like I know work before. And then he just takes a leap of faith. Get out of the witcher. I tell you, they stagger for us, but it will work. Hallelujah. Say God's power is real to me. Say God's power is real to me. So notice, when Jesus was casting out demons, he was loud about it. He was not speaking to the bread. Get out. Get out. No, you have to be loud about it. It's a stubborn child. You have to be loud. You know, some children are stubborn. You say, go out of this room, Joe. What is so much? What will they do? That's when you start playing with your aircraft. Say, go out of this room. What is it? Get out! Complete man. Praise God. I like you deal with demons. You don't say, hello, demon. Pastor, the demon here. Ah, where are you? Where is the demon? In the name of Jesus. Get out. Yeah. Voila. You are looking for voila. Even Pastor, you don't kill me. That's too snare to the... You don't say in the name of Jesus, okay? You see? Get out! Leave him! That's how to deal with demons. Faith is loud. Hallelujah. Say faith is loud. Don't say, the name of Jesus. Ah. But he doesn't even found on you and your member. The grace is the Lord. Grace is the reprint. So, the gift of faith is very important in the casting out of demons. Words are spoken and voices will be heard. So learn to raise your voice. Not out of pressure, but as a manifestation of the faith inside. That, you hear me? Learn to raise your voice. Not out of pressure, but as an outflow of the faith you have. So God's power is loud. So speak it. Be healed. Follow me. Remove the crutches. Get rid of the crutches. The crutches. Leave it. And now leave it. But oftentimes, the thin line is that men of God do not act in that they don't speak loud. You are also pitying. Because you don't pity. Whatever you pity, you cannot get rid of. Hallelujah. How can you be pitying someone that is demon-possessed? Say, I don't want to stop it. He wants to go and play. Someone is demonic, he's demon-possessed. He says he wants to go and play. Who should you tie down? Get out! Out of him! Be free! Don't start asking, what's your name? He goes, Musuko. Where were you before you came here? You know, you're like doing demonology. Before you know it, you go there, you are possessed.
Hallelujah. So, learn to raise your voice.
So, that is the gift of faith in the place of prayer. Hallelujah. Eh? It's not in the place of prayer.
Say, God, I pray for that guy in the morning. Says, God, every demon that is going, demon, I'm a tribe.
Yeah?
We want me to. That's what demon will be singing. Demon will be singing. I worship you.
You are praying. You are praying.
That's annoying guy. Well, let's go. He and some friends. Very, very long ago. Let's go read that from people and let's talk about.
They found someone of a demon.
I said, he said, let us meet that way. And the friend said, no. When I see a demon, what do I do? I just go to one corner and I say, God, have mercy.
God, have mercy. Why you don't? To have mercy on demons or to cast them out. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, you don't exercise, give up in the place of prayer. You speak, cast out demons. Hallelujah. So, when it comes to the gifts of the gifts in and of the Spirit, you must realize that you must give consistent practice to them. You must give consistent practice to them. Don't let a week pass you by with that. Ministry. Just the same way you speak in tongues every day. Don't let a week pass you by without the ministry. Is the reason why some of you are not sharp at it? It's been like 4 months. The ministry to speak that. How do you know I say that you come back to me yesterday and you'll be skilled? Just don't want that you want to start doing it again. No. Ensure that every week you manifest the 4 gifts. I said before, the 9 gifts of the Spirit. Every week. Don't let a week pass. It gets better with use. You get more skillful by the thing. Is that clear? That's an instruction. So, we see that ministry also comes to the Great Commission. So, the same way you are eager to preach, be eager to heal. Is that clear? Eh? The same way you are eager to preach, you are eager to make people cool and everything, be eager to heal. So, Acts 3 again, at the beautiful gate. So, it's power gives that manifestation of our what? Gives of faith and healing. So, in ministry to people, you give instruction. And the instructions can be different. Like, they are not mechanical. There's no mechanical approach. Say, this is what Pastor said we should be saying. Pastor, we should be saying. Say, out. Out. So, whenever you say any demon, the demons are going to say, out. Out. The demons will say, in. 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 Are you playing with me? Remember, it's boldness. The instruction is inspirational. That's why it's a gift of faith. The instruction is inspirational. Someone can say, out! Why someone say, leave! Leave him! What are you doing here? Oh! Away! You know, that's inspirational. Not that I planned that. All the demons are here. Hallelujah. There's no mechanical approach to the gift of faith. Wait for the inspiration, but be bold about it. The gift of faith. Hallelujah. So the most prominent power gift in the four gospels, and act is the gift of healing. Coupled with that is the gift of faith, where the recipient receives healing. Okay. Eh? So the gift of faith is very prominent in the preaching of the gospel. Same with the gift of healing. Note of that, it can come with knowledge. Gift of faith. I will see that later. Now let me say this. Notice, not everyone was healed in the ministry of Jesus. Not everyone. How do you notice that? For example, the guy at the beautiful gate. Was that his first time there, when Peter and John came? Of course not. He was there when Jesus was there, and Jesus went to them for everything. So, not you. So, same thing in John 5, at the pool. Not everyone was you. Abina, at the pool of Bethesda. Not everyone was you. But notice, the writer did not focus on the people that were not you. That is passive. What faith would that bring? Of what use would that be to the faith? They didn't focus on the people that were not you. That's why you focus on God's power. Is that clear? So let's say you go on an outreach and you minister to 8 people and 6 were not healed. 2 were healed. Focus on it. Is that clear? Forget about the 6 that were not healed. Those are the things. Pastor, I minister to 8, only 2. Of what use is that to your faith? Focus on God's power. Is that clear? Alright? The signs and wonders of the gospel must bear witness with what? With the gospel, with the same, with the message. Thank you. Let's see Romans 15.
shared it.
Romans 15.
Verse 19. Let's have verse 18. For I will not dare to speak of any of those things which Christ has not wrought by me, to make the Gentiles obedient by word and deed, through mighty signs and wonders, and by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem and round about unto Illyricum, I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. So you can't say you have fully preached the gospel of Christ without the gift of the Spirit. He says, through mighty signs and wonders, by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem and round about Illyricum, I have fully preached. This is where the gospel is gotten from. Who gospel? You can't say you have fully preached the gospel of Christ without power, without the gift of the Spirit, without utterance, without revelation. Is that clear? Is that clear? Don't forget again. I'll keep saying it. The message is not the miracle. The message is not what we do. It is what we say. The message is not what we do. It is what we say. Message is not a miracle, but the miracle is not against the message. Hallelujah. Let's look at some specifics. Put your hand in Mark 4, Mark chapter 4, verse 36. Then put one hand, put the other hand in Acts 27. Alright. Mark 4, verse 36. When they had sent the multitude away, they took him even as he was on the ship. And there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And when he was in the part of the ship, asleep on a pillow, Jesus was sleeping. He arose him and waked him and said, Master, carest thou that will perish? And he arose and he rebuked the wind. Of course, you rebuking is in word. That was the same thing Jesus did in Matthew 17, when the guy that was possessed, that the father brought to him that the disciples could not heal, he rebuked the demon. Rebuking is by speaking. Is that clear? So he rebuked the wind and said to the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. Did you see that? And he said unto them, why are you so fearful? How is it that you was? Come on, how is it that you was? Is that a gift of faith? Yes. So whatever Jesus did there was a gift of faith leading to a miracle. So, a gift of faith can be two ways. It can lead to healing. We've seen that. Acts 3, Matthew 17, Mark 5. But then, it can also be the other way and lead to a miracle. In this way, this is not healing. Rather, a miracle. It suspends the sensual order. Hallelujah. Praise God. Alright. So, Jesus said, peace be still. Is that what Jesus did? But let's see Acts 27. Acts 27. Verse 24. No. Let's start from verse 18. And we being exceedingly tossed with a great tempest, the next day they lightened the ship. And the third day we cast out with our own end the tackling of the ship. And when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, all day all hope that we should be saved was taken away. But after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, Sirs, you should have acted unto me. So you should have acted unto me and you have lost from Christ, and to have gained this arm and loss. Verse 22. And now I exhort you that be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you but of the sheep. For there stood by me in the night an angel of God, whose I am, and whom I serve, saying, fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar, and look, God has given thee all them that stay with thee. Now, the same situation, right? A tempest. But did Paul tell the wind to stop? So Paul tells the wind to stop. What did he do? He had a word of knowledge. No lies to be lost. He had a word of knowledge that of what will happen and what won't happen. So, the same scenario can present. Jesus is the gift of faith, Paul is the word of knowledge. Hallelujah. So we are looking at specific examples. So, the gift of spirit in operation, same scenario. Same scenario, but the operations of the gifts were different. Is that clear? Same scenario, but the operations of the gifts were different. In Acts chapter 5, verse 18, observe, and laid their hands on the apostles and put them in common prison. But the angel of the Lord by night opened the prison doors and brought them forth and said, go, stand and speak in the temple the people to the word of to the people all the words of his life. Is that clear? Acts 5, 18 to 20, that's what I just finished reading. So, there was an angelic walking, are we?
They were in prison. They were in prison. And then an angel appeared and took them out. What Jesus speak would that be? I said, when you see vision, what Jesus speak is it? It's revelation. What of the vision of revelation? This kind of spirit is a revelation. You see something. Ah. Is that a revelation, Jesus? Alright, so there was a design of spirit in Acts 5, 18 to 19. Let's see Acts 10. No, we are looking at specifics now. We are seeing in Mark 4 and Acts 27 that Jesus found himself in the storm, Paul found them in the storm, and they reacted differently. Right? Jesus used the gift of faith. Peace is still. Calmness. Paul did not use that. Paul just sat down in the temple and told the people, no lies should be lost. Ah, that's a word of knowledge. Hallelujah. Yeah, but of the sheep. It's only the sheep that will be destroyed. But no lies should be lost. So, same scenario. Exactly. Now, we are looking at Acts 5 now. And we see that a prison, an angel came, and then the door was open. But in Acts 10, verse 12, Peter saw an angel. I just thought to say that. Let's say Acts 16, verse 25. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed. At midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God. And the prisoners urged them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately, all the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loose. Now, same scenario, with Peter. Peter's own was that an angel came. Paul and Silas' case was that was the doors just opened. There was an earthquake. Same scenario, different operations. So, it's possible that there are times that things will happen differently, even with the same situation. So, don't let when Brother Owen was faced with this decision, this is what he said exactly. You can work in a different operation. It's possible. And it's still the same result. In Peter's case, it's less freedom. Paul and Silas' case, it's still freedom. Jesus' life and that of his disciples were spared in the storm. Paul's life and those that he was sailing with were spared. Different route. Same scenario. Alright? Again, we said no miracle in the book of Acts pointed to what? Material prosperity. Thank you. But Jesus did. In John 2, water he turned into wine. In Luke 5, he told Peter, cast your net to the right side. Those things never happen again. If they did, you were never. But it's the gift of faith. I'm not even sure that. It's the gift of faith. There was an instruction. Cast your net to the right side. Fill the water first with water and go and save. Sometimes I put myself in the city of those that were saved. Fill the water first with water and they were filling it. So, that is some of it. Let's say, you're having a party and then drinks are finished. And I said, gather bottles of the ones that they are finished drinking. Pass the bottle. I said, pour water into it. I can't serve it back. Oh, menina. Go and save. And when you are saying, what kind of cook? Transparent cook. Who's sweeter than Coke? Which one is this one? Well, it's Coke bottle now. Hallelujah. Praise God. That's the gift of faith. There was an instruction. Stay to the right side. There was an instruction. Serve the loaves. Don't think when Jesus prayed, the loaves are multiplied. No. History has it that as they were sharing it, just did not finish. Hallelujah. That I work a miracle. Every day. Abundance of supply. So, there will be an instruction in the gift of faith. The gift of for the recipients to receive a miracle via instructions. The gift of faith is for the recipients to receive a miracle via instructions. If they had not brought out the water pot, nothing would have happened. That's why Mary said, whatever he tells you to do. If they had not, if Peter said, see, Jesus, I do whatever you call yourself. Because that was the first time he left. Then see, guy, I have tried all night. And you know Jesus, stop it. Cast your net to the right side. No, you wouldn't have said that. It's a gift of faith. You would have said it loud. Cast your net to the right side. Papa, forget that. Which side? All the sides in this boat. Under the boat. I have cast net everywhere. But it's upon casting that the fish will come. Hallelujah. It's not as though Jesus saw a fish on the surface. But when the net is there, because of the gift of faith, there will be supply. Hallelujah.
left, right side. Serve the Lord. Ah, Thomas, man. This guy is mad. We should serve these people. Peter, are you not hungry? I'm hungry. We are smart in this life. Something he's testing us. He wants us to know that we are hungry. That we can't eat. You have butter there. Hallelujah. Let's use it to mesmerize this fish. Praise God. What he said, it's upon seven that they will receive the miracle. So, in the gift of faith, there's an instruction. Look at the last miracle in the book of Acts. The one of Paul and the viper. Shake off the beast into the fire. The light of God is burning in me. I know the truth. I need to set me free. I'm gonna shake my body. I'm gonna feel alright. Shake, shake, shake. Is it that? I perform. Alright, Acts 28, verse 6. I'll be when he looked that he should have swollen. Let that verse 4. And when the barbarian saw the venomous beast under his hand, and he said among himself, don't tell this man is a murderer, whom even though he has escaped the sea, yet the again suffered it not to leave. And he shook up the beast into the fire, and felt no harm. Hallelujah. I'll be the look of an eye should have swollen upon him and dead swollen. But after they had looked a great while, and saw no one comes in, they changed their mind and said, hey, this one is a god. And verse 8, and it came to pass, that the father of Publius lay sick of a fever and of a bloody flux, to whom Paul entered in and prayed and laid his hands on him, and he was healed. That was the last miracle in the book of Acts, and his healing. Publius was healed of fever and bloody flux. So, the first miracle in the book of Acts, healing, of God by the gift of faith, and the last miracle, healing, that it was not by the gift of faith, but by laying on of events. Is that clear? Is that clear? So, in the ministry of the gospel, the gifts of faith work with the gifts of healing. Especially in the casting out of demons. You will hear words like, go and check yourself. Oftentimes, until the instruction is, until the instruction is set upon, healing will not, is that clear? Until the instruction given is set upon, like, jump. Someone, and you say, maybe the person because of pain, always sit on one buttock. And you say, sit down well. I said, sit down well. Sit down normally. Do what you will not do. And upon sitting, the instruction is the receiving. When you act upon the instruction, that is how you will receive. Is that clear? How many of you understand the need of faith now? So next, come on, let me see. Alright, thank you. So, don't forget, there's no mechanical approach to the instructions given. Rather, it comes with boldness and it is inspirational to the core. John chapter 5. Now take a very close look at this. Verse 1. So, take note. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. In this lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. But an angel cometh down and decided to send to the pool and trouble in the water. Whoever then first after the trouble of the water stepped in was made whole of whatever disease he had. And a certain man was there, which had an infirmity for 38 years. Now, look at this. There's a large number of people. There was a large number of people. And Jesus went to just one person. This says a lot. He went to just one person. He didn't go around everyone. He went to one. See, never think you are a magician. Never think you're a magician. Jesus asked him and said, do you want to be made whole? Okay. The man gave some ranting, and unnecessary jamboree. Then Jesus said, right. Take up your bed and walk. That's the gift of faith, right? Huh? Specific instruction. Right. Take up your bed and walk.
immediately the man was made whole. Why was he made whole? Because he took up his bed, right? He acted on the instruction. See, that was no magic. That's no magic. Right, take up your bed and walk. Then he took up his bed. There's no magic. Jesus no go around everybody and say, oh yeah, everybody gather. Oh yeah, hold one another. By the hands of this one, according to pass all of you. No! You're not a magician. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, notice that Jesus did not make people yield. Rather, he ministered to people. He ministered and they received it. Observe, when he went to his hometown, he could not do much miracles. Because they did not see him. So don't ask me yourself, sometimes the issue is not true. And you cannot go around everybody. You can't go around everybody. Glory to God. You can't go around everybody. So, not all the multitude were healed. We are not magicians. We are ministers of the healing power of God. So, don't say, I did that to eight people. Only one was healed. No. That doesn't make you a failure. No. You minister. You don't perform magic. Is that clear? Is that clear? It's only magic that you can do it without the person's faith. Can I remember the process of fella? When a fella cut someone open, I was not born. I understood. He cut someone into half. Bam! And he took him about 1.5 hours. And he joined the body back. And then mother lied again. Son has lost blood. Dead. Of course, you slide someone with magic. Dwarf. And with magic, he brought the person back. Eh? Eh? Is that a sign and wonder? Yes. But not of God. That's it. So that's like Jonah said, lying signs and wonders. Exactly. There are some lying signs and wonders. So don't let miracles make you feel the ministry is true. Professor Pella has no miracles. Exactly. He will tell you, hold Bible in your hand. And you hold Bible in your hand. Set. And you not bury your hand. And you pick up his pocket. I don't know about the Bible that are common. Your own Bible, go and customize it. Stand far from him. Hallelujah. And he said, 1, 2, 3. And you don't find your end, and you bring it up. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Is that a miracle? Yes. But none of God. So don't let miracle confuse you for the message. Don't confuse the miracle for the message. You are not a magician. You are a minister of the power of God. So never put yourself under pressure. Don't put yourself under pressure. Minister. You know the Pharisees were also sick. But you receive healing. You are just not receiving. Sometimes, healing comes true when the fellow to one.